You can mind, we'll make your way to Psalm 81. Anything else that needs to be shared? I think Gretchen's coming back, right? Or is she helping Ellie?
She's coming back.
Okay. Psalm 81, or Song 81. Psalm simply means song, S-O-N-G. So there you have it. God's book, His special holy book, has a song book right in the center of it. Some songs are very short. Some are very long. Some nights are very long. Some days seem very long, right? And that, and Psalms kind of represent our life in that way, and sometimes circumstances, which can be very brief or can be very drawn out. Psalm 81, I would personally title, from the things I gleaned from it, the seven secret places of joy. The seven secret places of joy. So we'll get to that somewhere around verse 7. And the song begins with that, speaking of joy. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring here the timbrel, the pleasant harp, and the psaltery. Those are all instruments, the timbrel, the harp, and the psaltery. Some of those sound familiar, some are less familiar. Stringed instruments, those type of things. Some of them are no longer, at least in our culture, used. But we have guitars and different things today. But musical instruments, and the trumpet is mentioned here in verse 3 as well. That's a familiar one. Blow up the trumpet. A lot of things are blowing up in the world today, and people blow up things. Well, as believers, we're to blow the trumpet. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. No coincidence, today is Mother's Day and happens to be a celebration in this particular song of a feast day. And they would mark the calendar by the new moons, the months. And that's where the idea of month comes from, is the moon, the cycles of the moon, the month, the M-O-N-T-H. It is due to that. And a lot of what you see in the scripture of holidays and holy days were of that nature. There were new moons. There were things that would be of that nature. But it's God's calendar that's freely provided in the sky. So it's a cool thing to be able to use. So we take those things for granted. You go back to Genesis 1 and it talks about these things being set for us to establish times, to establish seasons. Can you imagine if we never celebrated Mother's Day? Can you imagine if we never celebrated Father's Day or Independence Day? Or we never took communion, and the things we were to celebrate that Jesus told us to do. If we were never to observe these things, if there was never any observation of anything, and it was just one day to the next, what would life be like? Pretty drab, huh? Kind of like the day out here today. It would be pretty rough. So I'm thankful, and I'm thankful that God ordains it. And you can look in Leviticus, it says, the Lord says, do these things. On this time, in this period. And even created the moon, even created stars to set that calendar in the sky for signs and seasons, for us to be able to have celebrations, for us to set certain periods and mark certain times that we would recognize things. To bring significance. Why? Because we forget. We take things for granted. As we go through life, and one day leads to the next. By the way, that's how really life rolls out. One day leads to the next. And God causes us to make it special by remembering certain things and certain holidays. And here today we're celebrating Mother's Day. So don't forget to take a flower with you today. And if you don't want one yourself, find somebody to give it to. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Verse 1 says. So certain qualities of singing praises to God and worshiping God here. One is that it's joyful, or it's full of joy. Your translation might say, for joy we sing aloud. There's the cause of it. There's something driving inside of us that causes us to sing. One of my favorite testimonies is Gretchen's sister about that. I'm so excited to hear testimonies. I love to remember them and share them. Her sister Leslie was, one time she was just singing. And she didn't, they weren't words that she remembered or from a particular song. She was just singing to God, and she wasn't even sure what she was saying. She was loving the Lord, and she was in a very special place of singing unto God. That was a joyful noise, whatever that was. And she called her sister to tell her about it. Sing aloud. So there's a quality right there, aloud. Why? Because not everybody's full of joy. If you keep it to yourself, become the Dead Sea, right? God has called us to be living water torrents and to be spilling over and splashing over. He spilled living water upon that woman at the well. You know, she gave him physical water. He gave her the words of life. And she would go into the community so excited and ecstatic. And she's saying, isn't this great? Isn't this great? This Lord, the Savior is here, this Messiah. And she starts splashing that living water upon them. So to be aloud, to sing aloud, we're encouraging each other. Because guess what? Not everybody is full of joy when they come in. A lot of times we're hurting. We go through different times. Mindy read the cycles of life, the valley of the shadow, green pastures and still waters, a table before the enemies, all of those qualities of life and seasons that we have. God would tell us, folks, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, because he wants you to sing aloud that others' joy would be filled that need it, that are in that valley. So allow it to come out. Plant the seeds of peace, as Terry read from James chapter 3 today. Be sowers of God's peace. Be planters. So allow it out. That's the first quality there. Sing aloud. Use your full voice. I was probably singing a little too loud today. I was a little excited about Mark's testimony, which I will give a little bit of sharing with at the end here. I asked him a question when I came in this morning, and it came out of my mouth before I thought about it. Otherwise, it would have been a different question, like, hey, how you doing, or whatever, the stuff I normally say. But it was, how was your sleep last night? I looked at him, and then that came out. And then I felt weird. It was like I never asked him that. And then he gave me an answer, which now I know why I asked that question. It wasn't me. It brings confirmation to the things that he heard in that. And I will share that a little bit. So excited. If you like the woman at the well here, just want to splash the water of word on everyone this morning to encourage you to bring life. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a psaltery. So it's a pleasant sound. No nails on the scratchboard or screamo music happening here, thank God. Pleasant, pleasant. And that could, I know, that could be different for everyone. And Gretchen said, I'm going to pull one out of the closet this morning on the way there. I'm going to pull an old one out. And I said, that's cool. And I think part of the ministry down there in Malone Village caused her to explore a little bit outside of the Gretchen genre. And it started going into some different areas. We sang Amazing Grace to a different tune today. And some different music today. I enjoyed very much. And we sang it aloud. But it was pleasant. It was pleasant to be able to do that. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon. So there's a joy there and an excitement. So the qualities, you get it out, you're singing it loud, and it's pleasant. It's joyful. It's joyful. It's for the cause of joy we're doing this. I'm a little bewildered sometimes when people don't come to church because they are struggling. And that makes me sad. Because this is the right place to come to when you are struggling, when you feel like you don't want to be around people. Because that's the whole idea, is that the joy is supposed to spill over. And we see that in Ephesians. We see it's like ligaments and joints knit together. Colossians talks about it, a knitting, a weaving together. That's supposed to happen, and that is supposed to, God has ordained that to help with those situations. So Satan would have you to try to take care of it yourself and fight through it on your own. And God would say, no, get together with people. And hopefully, you know, it's not a situation where you feel condemned or judged in the group you are. And if you are, then find another place. I'm serious about that. You should come to a place where that you are built up in the faith. You're built up in Christ. All right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, continuing on here in verse 4 through 6. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. So there it is. God wants us to do these things, to actually get together and sing, to have holidays, to have holy days, to have celebrations, to have special times of remembering, remembering what mom does, giving honor to what mom, remembering what dad does when that day comes, remembering what Christ has done for us as we break bread and pass the cup. Those are all celebrations, and I think God delights in those things. This is the nature of God. We see that all the way in Genesis. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a moon. You would just have this blank box called Earth. There would be no moon and stars. We wouldn't need that. We wouldn't need seasons. It would just be this robotic life type thing. But God is very dynamic. God is very colorful. God is very beautiful. He's infinite. So it became this law, it became a command of God. This is how I want things. This is the nature of God that's displayed upon people, and it's called law. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. Joseph, when you hear Joseph and Jacob, that's his people of Israel being mentioned. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. Can you imagine being in a situation like that? Joseph was one of the younger brothers. And his older brothers were jealous of him. Terry read about jealousy. That's not, there's the unholy, there's an unhealthy jealousy when it has to do with ambition. And because your younger brother's being blessed, your sister, and you get this kind of weird feeling inside of you, that's unhealthy, that's unholy. And God wants to see that crucified. And he's provided a toilet, by the way, for you to flush all that junk down. I'm not being blasphemous when I say that's the cross. That's the place of death where your flesh, your stinky, sinful flesh is to be flushed, is to be crucified, is to be put to death, is to be done away with. So I speak in harsh terms, but Jesus died in a harsh way to show us that those kind of things need to die. But Joseph went through that process, and in that, being sold, his brothers sold him. They were going to kill him, and they thought, hey, we could at least make money. That's how rotten they were. This is where that's how rotten we are. We all have that potential to go to that extreme, don't we? It starts out with a little bit of dad's favorite child and a little bit of it builds every day until all of a sudden you're murdering with words and maybe get physical even. And then it comes to the place you just sell them off. So they did that. And Joseph ended up in Egypt. He ended up in Egypt in quite a situation, and he would go through quite a process of his life, being in prison for years even, until God would pluck him out of obscurity and make greatness out of him. But he was in a place. Could you imagine being in a place where you don't know what they're... It's just a different language. Has anybody experienced that, gone to a different country or to a place that they just speak a different language, a few people? Okay. It's almost like, am I on Earth still? It's almost like a dream. It's so strange. People are talking, but you feel so weird. You feel like an alien from outer space because you can't relate to what they're talking about. You're just looking at them, and they're looking back at you. And it is a very strange experience. And Asher had that experience this past week. Mindy was at the park, and there was a fellow that was just filled with anger. He was a hater. He was a hater. And it talks about that at the end of this psalm, a hater. He was just like hating on people. I hate these people. I hate this people. And he's cussing up a storm as he's walking. He's got a pit bull with him. So it's just like Mindy's there with her three kids and just at the park. And there isn't many other people there. And he's like... sounds like he's going to kill somebody. He's that livid. He's that upset talking to somebody on a cell phone. And he's saying all this stuff. And obviously, Mindy doesn't want her son or any of her kids to understand what he's saying. And praise God that God didn't allow that to happen. As smart as Asher is, he said after that guy passed by, he looks up at mommy and says, "Was that a Haitian? Was he speaking Haitian?" But all his language, where there's so many swear words woven in there, there was so much trash talk that it was so foreign to Asher, praise God, that he didn't even connect at all. It was just a whole different language and whole different world. It was a foreigner. It was like an alien from a different planet. But that was Joseph's experience in Egypt. But God would raise him out of obscurity, out of that what seemed to be a forgotten place, and that my brother sold me, woe is me. He never left that belief in God, and he kept his integrity with God. So important, so many examples in the scripture to encourage us to stay on no matter what the situation is. In verse 6, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots, the baskets. That's the work of slavery. All right. Verse 7 begins our journey into the seven particular items, seven secret places of joy. So if you're a note taker, you'll have seven items on your list today. The seven secret places of joy. Yesterday, one of my favorite things to do is to get distracted. I just enjoy it so much. And yesterday, I was going to plant the main garden, put the squash in, and I'm walking down to get some tools and stuff, and then I see this beautiful apple tree that's growing in the brush and the mire and the tangled up stuff. It's in the brush lot, and it's like nobody can appreciate it there except you can see it up on top of the hill. It's just gorgeous. It's just all flowers, all these pink white flowers, and it's like, you know what? I want to just clear a path to that, make a walking and extend our walking path and move it through there just so people can appreciate that nice apple tree. Just something quick. Well, that was all day. That was clearing these little saplings and all this stuff just to make a little trail through there. So Asher came down with Daddy and Eliana and even Isaac and Maddie had him on that little carrier. They were playing and stuff, and then they finally came over to what I was doing and asked, "Hey, Papa, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm making this secret walkway, and there's the hidden tree back there." And Asher was, I didn't realize that. Maddie told me that he got, that kind of took him back a little bit. Like, there's something secret, and there's something, you know, scary type of thing. So it became a thing for him to overcome. And so he's like, got psyched out to be able to do it by himself. First, he walked through with Dad. And then he said, "I'm going to do it by myself." And he walked through the trail by himself. Maddie told me what was going on, that he was getting built up in his strength to be able to do this on his own. But that was a secret place, long story short, of distraction yesterday that God provided. I think for his grand purposes, in my mindless state, God is still doing things and using me. And that is an illustration today that there's secret places that God would have us to know today. Verse 7 speaks to the first one. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Pause and think about that. So I did, and I searched in the Bible, in my translation, King James, and there's seven places in the Bible that have the phrase secret place. So we're going to cover those seven secret places today. And the first one is said right there in verse 7. And that's the answers, the secret places of God's answers. And here we see the answer in the secret place of thunder. So the secret place of God answering, speaking to us, number one. It also says in this verse that I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. The waters of Meribah were come to a place where the people were thirsty and they started to whine and to complain. And it was a proving place. Just because you're going through a time of thirst and hunger and what seems to be like a dry place, lack that time of kind of like suffering, it doesn't mean God isn't there. It says here that it's a proving time. That story is in Exodus 17. We won't go there right now, just to briefly mention it. But it was a proving time for the people to trust in God. This secret place of hearing God often brings us into a place of lack in the physical. It brings us to a place of needing God, needing to hear from Him, needing to call out for Him. Not such a bad thing. The bad thing is if we don't hear it. And that's what verse 8 speaks of. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. I will speak to thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Hearken is that intent listening. It's like that bionic ear. Your ear stretches out like Plato, man, all the way and wraps around those words. And you grab a hold of it. You're carefully listening. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. And that's going to be one of the secret places we're going to talk about. So we'll come back to that. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The answers of God. James chapter 3, we're already there. Terry shared about it. It's actually in the chapters before it. It speaks of that if any of you lack wisdom, talks about going through suffering. And then right after that, the next verse is, any of you lack wisdom. What do we need when we're suffering? We need answers. When we're going through and we have needs, we need answers. We need to hear from God. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And here we see this wide open mouth. Open your mouth wide. We hear that from the dentist here while you're hearing it from God this morning. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, in verse 11, and Israel would none of me, would have nothing to do with me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. That's their own wisdom. Proverbs 3 talks about us not leaning on our own understanding. That's going to be a big struggle in your life. I already know that. You don't have to tell me. I'll tell you right now, what's going to be a big struggle in your life is leaning on your own understanding. No exception. I'm looking around. I don't see any exceptions here today because you're all breathing. That qualifies you to be in that camp of you're going to struggle with leaning on your own understanding. You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. And that's going to cause you to struggle to lean on your own understanding. And it's going to eventually cause you to choose either between God or your own understanding, your own counsel, and they can affect your walk. Listen to the plea of verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Every mother's prayer, every mother's cry. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, their children, right? If they would just have listened. They wouldn't have burned their hand. They wouldn't have gone through this suffering. They wouldn't have gone through this trial. But they had to learn it that way. Benjamin Franklin said that experience is a dear teacher. That means a painful one. If we would just listen, if we would just listen to what Mom would have said to us all the while, maybe she does have a little bit of knowledge. It's worth listening to. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. That's listened intently, and Israel had walked in my ways. So the listening and the walking go hand in hand. That's a natural progression. If you're listening intently, that's going to shape your walk. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. This is how it could have been, but it wasn't. We know Babylon would capture Israel. We know they went through different things. Jerusalem would be destroyed. And here's that word hater there, back to our story with Asher in the park, the Haitian. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. That's a kind of a rough translation there to understand. But simply, the haters of the Lord, that's the hypocrites, the hypocrisy. It's not just like God doesn't exist. It's a belief, it's a kind of a spirit of religion, So you have a form of religion, but there's no power in your life. There's not a submission of your life to God. So you can call yourself a Christian, but if you don't really submit yourself to your life to God, if you don't give your life to God, then you're ultimately a hater of God. That's just, you're either for him or against him in that way. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. I don't know what the wheat is that we have today, but it's very different. I would definitely be satisfied with the wheat. I look forward to someday eating bread with the Lord, and lots of it. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. So this first number one here is the secret places of joy, the seven secrets of place of the answers that come from God in the secret places, in the strange, mysterious places. The honey from the rock and voice and the thunder. Those are two strange places. You don't hear voices and thunder, and you don't get honey from a rock. So what is being told us here? There's something supernatural being discussed with us. There's something supernatural that's happening in the natural. So for Jada, for Krista, for KK, God has things to speak to you through the natural things of life, but it's going to be supernatural in there if you're able to hearken and listen carefully. There's going to be voice in the thunder. There's going to be honey in the rock. So your five senses that you were born with need to be lifted up, upgraded with a sixth sense called faith. That faith will allow you to see things, hear things, feel things, smell things even, that you wouldn't normally see outside of not having that. So you have the five senses. You go through your whole life hearing, smelling, touching, feeling, all those things, then die and be separate from God forever. What's required for all of us after our birth is to have another sense joined into those five senses called faith. Faith has dominion over all of our senses. Faith transforms all of these senses. God says, behold, you're a new creature. What does that mean? That means all things are new. Your eyes are new. Your ears are new. Your sense and your smell are new. And your taste is even new. You can taste and see that the Lord is good in different situations. The fragrance of Christ. All of these things that are spoken of in the scripture are terms of faith. That is the supernatural over the natural. You guys are kingdom dwellers. You're citizens of heaven. That's what makes you different from everybody else, is the sixth sense that God has given us. And this is the one sense that ultimately will save you. None of these five will. None of these five will. You can look at stuff all you want. You can hear stuff all you want. But it's this one. It's the faith. Putting that faith in Jesus Christ. That he died for me. 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 He died for me. That's what saves me. That's what transforms me into this new life of rebirth, where all of these senses are transformed. Pretty powerful. So God, secret place, now dwells in my seeing, in my hearing, in my tasting. I should have wrote them down. Smell, okay. All of those senses. God has answers. God is speaking to me in all of these things. I have a Facebook page called Just a Tent. I haven't posted on it in a while, but I use that for that particular reason. I use that venue, that opportunity, that vehicle for that particular reason, to speak to things that I have seen or tasted and seen or smelled or whatever those senses is, and I'll bring in that sixth sense. So I'll be talking about berries out, and you'll see me walking around talking about berries. And then I'll talk, then all of a sudden you'll hear me talking about God. What's happening is I'm seeing something in the supernatural, or I'm hearing something in the supernatural. I'm cleaning, it doesn't have to be even something growing out there. It could be cleaning the wood stove. That was one episode. I'm cleaning out the wood stoves and all this black chunks coming out, you know, stuff like that. I'm thinking about all this, you know, all the stuff that forgiveness gets out of our life. We have all that junk. We got sin inside of us. We got all that dirt and soot that's in there. And forgiveness just flushes it out. The blood of Christ flushes through us and just pulls all this stuff out. And we're to do that with each other. We're to forgive each other. And that just clears all that gunk out. So those are illustrations. That's the supernatural in the natural. That's hearing His voice in the thunder. That's honey in the rock. Do you get it? As a creature of God, you're able to see, you're able to hear, and do wonderful, marvelous things. That would be just a good topic to go off on a whole camp at Camp Gregory. Number two, this is the only psalm we're doing, and we're going to finish up with these seven secret places of joy. Isn't it exciting when God speaks to you? Isn't it exciting when God shows you something? Hey, when you're first born and like what Isaac's going through, it's just amazing to see anything. All of a sudden, you know, everything's blurry. Then all of a sudden, this face comes into view. Whoa. Right? And then the face disappears. And the experiences that a little child goes through. And then as we get a little bit older and we start to enjoy things, we can see further. We're invited to this place of being able to see even beyond the natural into the supernatural and hear God speak to us of things. Hey, the heavens declare that the glory of God all the time. Day and night, His speech. Day and night, His speech, Psalm 19. They're speaking to us. God is speaking to us. He wants to speak to us. It delights God to have fellowship with us. The second one, secret places of joy, just a search right through the Bible brought me right to Deuteronomy. It was the first time that it appeared in the Bible. So if you want to play Bible tag with me, we'll do that. Deuteronomy 27:15. So the second secret place of joy is called idol freedom, or simply freedom. Idolatry is what is being spoken of here. Cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and put it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say amen. Praise you, Lord. I was just joking with Gretchen as we were walking in. A few days ago, we saw this very expensive thing, and I said, we hope it's not that, right? The golden calf. These things can become idols to us, these material things. Praise God that through the death of Christ, I can be free from having to have a truck that is $80,000 and it's all decked out and has everything in it, or having a muscle car. I was 21. I know what it's like to have that desire and what it feels like.
I still want my hippie.
You still want things, right? But I am free from being that shaping my life. Like, I can't wait until I have that muscle car. Then I can't wait till I get special LED lights for that muscle car. Or I can't wait till I get the stereo system in that muscle car that is 150 amps, blows the windows out of everybody else's car. So this is the secret place of joy. And I would tell you this morning, I would submit to you this morning that this is your mind. This secret place of joy is the mind that God has given you, in that He has given you the capacity to be free in your mind, to experience freedom, true freedom. He's made us free, to be free from these things, these idols. Remember John says, little children, watch out for idols. He just throws that in at the end of one of his letters. Watch out for those idols. Sounds like John the mom, right? To be idol free. Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. It's not like one thing after another, and then this will make me feel cool, this will make me look good, and then it doesn't. Well, maybe for a couple hours or days. but it ultimately doesn't. It gets a nick or ding in it, or it falls apart, or somebody has a bigger one, or a faster one, or you know what I mean. Then I've got to up the game. I am idol free because of Jesus Christ. He has made me a creature that is idol free. To experience that freedom in your mind, folks, is better than the 4th of July. It's better than anything that this world can give you. It's a peace that passes understanding. I am at rest with God. I am at peace. I don't need the next thing. To be idol free is a secret place of joy. We are to fill our mind now with a fellowship with God. Lord, how can I see you in this? Lord, show me and speak to me. Now my delight is in the Lord. It's like, how can I brush up with God today? How can I hear from him today? What is the Lord trying to show me? I'm tangling up with God in my mind. So the invitation to you is to invite God into the secret place of your mind. It's a secret place all unto yourself until you invite God in. Invite God into that secret place of your mind. Don't exclude him there. Back in Deuteronomy, they would have a secret place to put their idols. So they would make these naked girl idols, and they would put them in these secret little chambers. It was like the Playboy magazines and all that stuff of our current culture and pornography. They would have pornography back then, and they would hide them in secret places. In fact, excavations would find that to this day. They find these little chambers, and they'd find in there's a little naked doll of a woman. And the priests would have these little things, little secret places. I tell you what, that is not a secret place of joy. A secret place of joy is to be free from that, to be free from those entanglements of the flesh. And now my freedom is like, I just want to spend time with the Lord. That's where my true bread from heaven is. That's where my true joy is. Number three, and maybe we'll get through all these, maybe not. We got a few minutes left. Secret place of safety. So secret place of answers was number one. Secret place of freedom is number two. Secret place of safety is number three. And that brings us to 1 Samuel, and let's go in order that they came in the search, the Bible order. 1 Samuel 19, verse 2. Quick and simple one. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, best friends. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, his own dad, seeks to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, I'm begging you, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide yourself. This is a simple one. It seems simple, but we can overlook it sometimes. Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus would have to go down to Egypt to hide for a while from crazy Herod. God has provisions in our life that are sometimes our physical places that we're to go, and we're like, oh, I'm in this place in my life, and I'm back home with mom. You know, look at it as a secret place of safety, that God, a provision of God. And God will provide these things to you as you trust and follow him. And when Tony was born, we didn't have a home. We were homeless. We could have lived at Malone Village there. That's the qualification to go there, is you have to be homeless. So left my job believing, and I still do, believing God was directing me to go out and take that step of faith. And then, so I don't have a job. I'm homeless. Where do you go? Mom. We got two kids and one on the way. Do you mind if we stay for a couple of months? Praise God. A secret place of safety. Praise God for my mom. Thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness to you, Lord. The house was there, ready for me to come back to when I needed it. In that time of need, the 6 months that we needed to stay there, when the house was filled with noise and her peace was interrupted, I am sure. But she never showed it. She just showed the delight of the Lord, filling the house with praises. And I'm so thankful for that time. My son was born, and God would cause us to move and prosper here in Auburn and Port Byron. Secret places of safety, they will come in your life. look for them and praise God for them. Number four, a secret place of power. This is an awesome one. Psalm 91:1. So we go by the secret voice and the thunder, which we're at now, and we just go up to Psalm 91, right in verse 1 there. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the secret place of power. The verses that follow that give credence to that. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and God I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall ye trust. Praise God. It's a secret place of power. Actually, I jumped ahead here. That was Psalm 18. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from thy enemy. Very powerful verse. Very powerful psalm. It's the secret place of God's power. We dwell there as citizens of heaven, as believers in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Psalm 91. We dwell in this secret place of power. This is also a secret place of covering. That's why I came up to verse 4 there. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day. This secret place of power, this secret place of covering, is such an important place. An illustration of it came yesterday. Gretchen showed me a little clip of a video of this bird. It was a bird in a farmer's field, and it put out its wings. This huge equipment was coming over, this farm equipment. It had a discus on it that tills up the property, tills up the soil. Huge stuff, big double tires coming over. And you see a picture of that. I don't know how they did this, but it was just a remarkable illustration anyway, of this bird that has its nest over it, and it puts out its wings. And this huge tractor passes over, and you see these big sharp discs pass over that, and it's just covering those eggs with its wings out. And it is not budging. It's standing there. You talk about, that's a good, great illustration of belief, of faith, of the impossible happening. All things are possible with God. And it, you know, the thing just passing right over. What seems to be like horrendous, horrible, you see that little bit of strength there, that little mustard seed of faith, and deliverance happening. An amazing thing. An Eliana story, just very quickly. At night, she'll call out whoever's watching her, please come in and cover me. You know, please come in and cover me. Nice illustration, that secret place of covering, and wanting to be covered. And of course, 2 minutes later, she's got the thing flung off and her legs hanging out of the thing, and she's all over the place. But she wants that covering first. When she's falling asleep, that transition from wake to sleep, she wants to be covered by mom, wants to be covered by dad. That's a precious thing. It's a secret place of covering that we have in God. God, cover me in the situation. And all you're doing is you're spreading out those little wings, and it doesn't seem like much. It seems like, what does this prayer do? What is this in this crazy situation? What does this little extension of my faith and belief do? Well, it moves mountains, Jesus says, that type of belief. The secret place of His presence is in Ezekiel 7:22. And that speaks to, we won't go there, we're trying to finish up here. That speaks to the Holy of Holies there, becoming polluted. So you had the temple and you had people doing things that were not of God in His very Holy of Holies, in this holy place. And that was a physical place in Ezekiel that was being discussed. Where is that now? Yeah, we have a building here, and that's important to keep it dedicated to God. But where really is the presence of God now? It's in His believing people. It's in the Spirit-filled church, His bride. That's where the presence of God chooses to dwell and be made known. So the secret place of his presence is you. Well, to some people, that was a secret just revealed. I never knew that. That's amazing. I thought it was in some golden thing that was up on an altar. I thought it was in some building. No, it's you. It's the person that has put their faith in Christ, that believes that Jesus died for them and then rose again. They become filled with the Spirit of God. You become the secret place of his presence. God would have us not to pollute that. What are one ways we can pollute that? Well, yeah, there's different kinds of sins. You can get into all those list of sins that come up to mind, the obvious things of doing bad things. But how about fear? Should fear dwell in with the presence of God in your life? Probably not. Fear quite often is a response to a situation. That's how your flesh reacts to it. The next step is what's important. Worry could be your next step when you take fear to the next step. Will that be your choice today or tomorrow when things happen of fear? Or you take that covering that God has given you, that faith and belief in him. Extend those wings of faith in him. When you do that, there's a much more powerful thing than your wings that covers you. And that is the wings of God. His promises over you and his love and care for you. Number 7, and finally today, a secret place of light. And that's Luke 11:33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place. That's the final place you'll see that used in the Bible, the phrase secret place. Neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The topic here being this secret place of light. And that's revealed in verse 34. We're told not to hide our faith in Christ under a bushel or candlestick, but to make it evident. And verse 34 tells us what that's all about. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, where thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. A lot of times we think our light is the things that we do that people see. I'm telling you, that is true. But this is the other side of the equation. There's a receiving that has to do with light that is equally as important. The light of the body is the eye. When thy eye is single, as healthy, as whole, how you see things, will you see things with your healthy eye? Believing. Your believing eye. Then you've entered this place, the secret place of light that God has promised us. It affects your whole body. Your whole body will change. Your whole outlook changes with these new eyes that God has given us. All right. Praise God. Those are the 7 secret places in the Bible that God would have us to explore. Lastly, this secret place that God has, he's always speaking to us. He's telling us to listen intently. You know that? That's not the natural ear. There's something else going on. Listen with faith. Hearken. Listen with faith. Listen for God speaking. This eye being the lamp of the body. Look with believing eyes. Look with believing eyes. God is speaking in the natural places supernaturally to us. Very precious lady, Mrs. Martin, Jane Martin. Giving honor to moms today. We'll come to the conclusion with that one today. That particular mom, an awesome mom, a super mom, one that a lot of us in here have come to know and love. And the night of her passing, not even knowing what was going on, Gretchen had a dream about her serving the Lord with great delight and great joy. And not even knowing what was going on, that she was already in the presence of Jesus, she got to see a vision of that. I was so trembling. I got to share that around the gravesite the next day. So afraid to speak up. I felt like I wasn't part of the family, but needed to say that because it was so powerful and real. She was so delightful. She was in heaven serving, just what she always loved to do. And when I came in this morning, asking that question to Mark, that wasn't me asking. That was the Holy Spirit asking a question to confirm something that happened. It was just an unusual question. How was your sleep last night? It was different. I had plenty of dreams. And part of this is Mark speaking, sharing what he shared with me. I didn't ask some permission so he can kill me later. But the last thing that he told her in that dream, and he could share more about it whenever he wants to, that she spoke to him in the dream was that, isn't this great? Isn't this great? It ties into the same dream, a similar dream to many years ago when she passed. And it just stirs up hope. And the chill of the morning even grew in me of the presence of God, the secret place of Him speaking to us, these little things that He drops in us that tells us that there is an eternity, that there is something after this bus ride on this earth, that this is a strange place and people are speaking a different language that are foreign to us. We are citizens of heaven. We need to have this light coming out of us, but also coming into us, that we're going to live forever because of what Jesus did. And we need to see everything through that light. We need to see everything through that God loves the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. We need to see everything through the eyes that His truth makes people free. Freeing their mind from idolatry. We need to see and hear the things of God in the natural, that God is always speaking to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If any of you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I would encourage you to, if you want to recommit your faith, if you want to just get before the Lord and ask for a fresh filling, I would encourage you to pray with me now. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just beginning to understand how beautiful You are. I don't want to be a hater, Lord God, of You, Lord Jesus Christ, and be a pretender. I really want to have my eyes transformed, Lord God. I want these hands transformed, all my ears transformed. Would You do that now, Lord God? In fact, I know You would, because You've declared it in Your word, and I receive, Lord Jesus, the full benefit of the cross right now on my body and my mind and my soul. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me, Lord God. Purge me from all my sin. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry, Lord God, for the time I've wasted. I am sorry, Lord God, for unholy things in my life, for hidden things that aren't supposed to be there. I'm sorry for not inviting You in my mind, Lord God, in the secret place that You wanted to have fellowship with me. Would You come in now, Lord God? Thank You, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Enjoy the day.